You're listening to Blue Collar CEO, the podcast that's all about helping you build a better, more profitable, and more sustainable home service business. Each week, we will cover a different topic that'll help you enable your company to move forward to success. And here's your host, Ryan Redding.
What is up, Blue Collar CEOs? It is Ryan. Good to be with you with another episode. Hey, real quick, before we get into today's episode, if you haven't done it yet, please take a second, leave us a review wherever you're listening to the show right now. I hope you find the guests that we have on helpful and the content we put out meaningful for you and your business. So if you wouldn't mind, just take a second, leave a review for us. It really is a helpful way for us to find more people just like you that finds this content helpful for what they're working on. So today we're going to hop in. We're going to meet Dan at builtforthetrades.com. A lot of companies struggle with leadership development, how to hire the right people. We're going to get into talking about this topic. Also, we're going to be talking about one of the most important topics to my heart, and that is good old-fashioned Texas barbecue. Let's hop in. All right, Dan, I'm so glad that you're able to take some time out of your crazy busy schedule and join us for today's conversation, because I've been looking forward to this. This is the first time we've met, and I've been really looking forward to you to actually connect with you and having you on. But for those who don't know who you are, what you do, Dan, who are you? What do you do?
I'm here. Thank you, Ryan, for having me on the podcast today. So a little bit about me. I have been in the trades for over 20 years, second generation master plumber out here in Texas. And so like a lot of people listening, born and raised in the trades. And that also makes me very unique in what I do now as an executive leadership coach for Built for the Trades. And, you know, we're not just a normal, like an everyday coaching company. We actually come in and help people develop their leadership teams to really sustain business growth, but also just kind of level up, like take their business to the next level. And so I'm excited to share a little bit about that today.
Yeah, let's go there. And I'm curious, so okay, what part of Texas?
So I'm about an hour outside of Austin, northwest of
Austin. Okay.
Yeah.
Northwest of Austin.
Yeah.
That's like God's country, man.
It is. Yeah. Texas Hill Country. It's nice out here.
Yeah, it really is. And there's like a lot of waterfalls and stuff. It's probably one of the prettiest parts of the state of Texas. Like, Texas is already like a stunning state.
I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree. So,
I mean, yeah. Obviously you live there.
Yeah, I live here. So, yeah, so our headquarters is here in Lampasas, Texas, which is an hour northwest of Austin. We have a great training center up here. And really, our life's work is just helping the business owner avoid the age-old mistake of taking their top producer and making them their service manager, expecting production to be enough in leadership. And a lot of times we see, and I'm speaking from my own experience, by the way, I've made this mistake, right? We see that production does not mean that person is a great leader. And so we can talk a little bit about that today as well. But the main thing is that we're just here to add value to the trades and just, you know, share some knowledge.
Yeah. It's so interesting that you say that, especially if you've had to deal with this on your own, I guess, coming from the family business. I feel like my observation of so many people in the trades is that either they grew up in the trades like you did, or they landed a job and they like found out that they're really good at slinging their wrench in whatever lane they're in, right? And at some point they go, well, screw this, I'm going to go and do this for myself. And they realize really quickly after some headaches that there's a really big difference of like knowing how to be a good plumber, or knowing how to be a good HVAC tech, or knowing how to be a good pest control, or whatever, like whatever your lane is, to actually like learning how the business works. Like those are just very different skills. What has been some of your, like your own personal experience that you've discovered coming from like a multi-generational family trade perspective?
Yeah, totally. I can think back to 2010. I was running a service truck. I've been doing that full time since 2001. And my dad just saying, hey, Dan, I want you to now be a service manager in the business. And we were a small business. There wasn't really any other management besides my parents being involved. And I remember him taking me out of truck and I'm like, Dad, I don't really know. I kind of like being a service tech. I want to be a service tech a little longer, because there really was no training on how to lead or manage people. It was just kind of like, you know, here's your role with no position agreement. And I just want you to lead this team and manage, you know, lead this team really is what it was. And so you're just doing the best you can do off of intuition. Now, I say that very lightly because my dad is a great leader and he did teach me a lot along the way. But it wasn't until I started hiring business coaches, right? People who necessarily weren't in the trades or a tradesman or woman to really teach me how to operate a business. And really realizing that, you know, you can grow a business and operate a business and build a leadership team around you that's self-operating. I think that's really the end goal for us all. But, you know, when we decide to take that leap and start our own business, like you said, all we really know how to do is provide quality work, turn the wrench, do the thing for the customer. But eventually you end up maxing out your capacity. You know, there may be somebody listening to that right now who's like, I used to like this, but now that I'm about at that $1 or $2 million annual revenue mark, like I'm kind of starting to hate this because I'm working 60, 70 hours a week. I miss all my kids' games. I'm burned out. And so, starting Built for the Trades and doing what I'm doing, I see that all over the nation. I mean, there's just thousands of tradespeople out there who are feeling that same kind of pain in their business.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's something that a lot of guys are surprised by is that the skills, and this is true as you grow a business too, I'm curious in your take, the skills that got you to be a really good plumber or to be a really good tradesman, right? Whatever your trade is, are not necessarily the same skills you need to become a stable business owner or leader or manager. Those skill sets are just very different. And I think a lot of times just people have the mindset that, oh, whatever I did to get me to here, I'm just going to do more of it to get me to where I'm going. And at some point there's just disconnect of like, but what got you here isn't going to be the same thing as what gets you there, which is where I really like where like coaching groups like you guys come in and help these people start learning those skills for the first time. You ever see sometimes people struggling with that transition of that mindset shift?
I do all the time. You know, it's sitting in a seat, having that different perspective of their business. You know, it's like in the coaching business, you see where you want them to go. It's getting them to realize that on their own. And everybody moves at a different pace and has different capacity. And it really comes down to if you've been doing the same thing over and over again, that only works for a while. And eventually you see a plateau in your business, which you're seeing the same revenue or profit year after year. That's when you know you need to make a change. That's when you know you need to discover your next leader and start to develop that person. And really before that, really you need to document your vision and where you want to go, because people ask me often as a leadership coach, like what's probably the one or two hardest things as a leader to perform over and over again. And it's really the first one is just follow through and what you say you're going to do, right? Like it's especially as you grow and you have people around you, you want to commit to things. Like you want to share a vision of something that you're going to do. But what happens is you can easily fall into this trap of, okay, that's a great idea, but just give Dan a couple weeks and he'll forget about it. Like I had that reputation in my business for a while and in my home business. It's like, I remember overhearing my technicians one day after a training meeting where I shared a vision of a new tool we wanted to implement to our business. And they didn't know I was listening, but I can hear him saying, yeah, you know, that's great. You know, but just give Dan 2 weeks and he'll be on to the next thing that he wants to do. And man,
I bet that sucked.
Yeah, it does suck. Right. So that reality hurts, but that's a reality for most people. So we help business owners document their vision, beginning with the end in mind and really working our way backwards. So we believe in, you know, vision, mission, core values, and really building like an organizational chart. We call a vision map for their business. And we look out on the organizational chart 3 years and work our way backwards. So building organizational chart for what it looks like in 3 years is important for two different reasons. One is growth and vision. Like if you want to attract talented people and retain talented people, they have to know where you're going. And the second part is chain of command. Because as you develop a leadership team, you can't be the same owner who always directs the technicians or the CSRs or whatever in your business, right? If you hire that leader for your business, you give them a clear clear expectations in writing and the results that you want them to achieve, the last thing you want to do is go around their leadership and really demote who they are as the leader of that department by doing that. So we work our way backwards and then help companies set goals, 3 and 1 year goals, and then breaking them down quarterly. So it's very systematic, but in doing so, I don't know if y'all do that in your marketing company, but in doing so, it really helps, like I said, attract and retain top talent. Really helps define your culture and hold yourself accountable to your culture. And, who wouldn't want to work for that, right? Knowing where you're going in your business and where your growth opportunities lie.
Yeah. And that's something I personally have found true. Like it's not just, and it's more than, I think people sometimes get stuck on the idea that mission and vision are kind of like these mystical, fuzzy, like buzzwords that you throw on like a wall or business card. And in reality, like if you do them well, I would argue that it creates clarity, it creates momentum, and it gives you the potential to have like clear scorecards and metrics that people know if they're doing the right things or not. Right? Like it helps them know, is this action or this task or is this decision, is this helping me move towards that outcome? And that clarity is a game changer, right? If people don't know what the hell they're supposed to be doing, it's going to be a mess. And I know that's something that I know from like your story, that's something you've struggled with. How building leaders is obviously a huge part of what you do with Built for the Trades. How did you personally stumble into like the role of leadership, the importance of leadership? Like how did this become something that was important to you as a human?
That's a great question, Ryan. I mean, really, it became important to me through my own failure in leadership. You know, I was, being second generation in the trades, coming into a family business, having a ton of success. Like I found myself there being a very selfish leader, all about me, and really to the point where it almost cost me my wife and my kids. You know, it got to that point. And it wasn't until I started studying more about leadership. I found John Maxwell, who's a great, he has a lot of great books out there. Ended up becoming certified in his coaching, training, and speaking program, and just really became a student of it, that I realized that, wow, like not only was I doing this wrong, but the right way is incredible. And that's what led to me writing the 4 Stages of Leadership, which is our leadership and management system that we teach and coach here at Built for the Trades. Because, just like I said earlier in the podcast, like when my dad said, hey, I want you to, or like if somebody said, hey, I want you to be a better leader, what the heck does that mean? Like, does anybody really know what it means to be a better leader? And so that's when I decided to develop that system and really show people what it looks like to lead and manage. And like one thing, I just finished a live training here in Lampasas for service managers and owners. And it was the foundational tools of the 4 Stages of Leadership. And the question I ask as a very foundational tool is like, what's the difference between leadership and management? And really most people have no idea what the difference is between leadership and management. It's just kind of like two buzzwords that you throw out.
Okay. How would you describe that? Let's jump into that. Cause I think a lot of people do use them interchangeably. Like I'm a boss, I'm a manager, I'm a leader. Like they're just like drag and drop. How would you describe the difference?
So yeah, I just keep it simple. Leadership is influence and management is accountability. And so you need both, right? Like some people are naturally.
Wait. Say that again. Say that again. Go slower because you just dropped a nugget and then you kept going.
All right.
Go back to the nugget.
So leadership is influence.
Leadership is influence.
And management is accountability.
Okay. Define influence.
Okay. So influence is being a better version of yourself, because leadership, if you're influencing people, you're leading by example, right? And then on top of that, also you learn to build relationships and serve the people around you.
So it's interesting. You're not talking about like positional authority. You're not saying like, hey, you're the boss or you're the direct report or you're a manager. You're saying like you have the ability to influence others. Like it's earned capital. Okay.
Yeah.
What is management?
That's why it's so important. Like if you have one toxic technician, that person's not necessarily your service manager, but that person is an influencer, right? They are leading. And there's a good quote that says, like at the end, the people choose the leader. And so whether or not you have a title or whatever it is, it's the person who's the influencer is a leader in your business. And that's why it's so important that we, you know, we keep those toxic people away from our culture, because one person can influence multiple people. And next thing you know, your whole culture's going downhill. So management is accountability. And what I mean by that is it's black and white. Like, if it's not written and expectations set up front in writing, then it'll be more difficult to hold people accountable. So, you know, when you're developing leaders, the very first thing you want to do is give them their expectations and train them on that, right? Like a position agreement. And then the next thing you want to do is you want to give them the results. Once they're trained, give them their position scorecard, the results that you want them to achieve. Those two tools combined with some core values in your business, I mean, that leader can go and get the results that you want to see without you having to micromanage every move that they're doing. And the management side of that is, if I'm holding people accountable based on a position agreement and scorecard, then it's not about how I feel. It's more about the reality is that you work here, you sign this agreement, you know this is the expectations, and it's not about feelings, it's about black and white. Either you're doing your job or you're not, and I'm the guy that's going to help you overcome whatever obstacles you have.
It's about, I've been thinking about this lately, is like the difference between like a person and a role. Like, if your role is to, you know, put icing on a cake, like that's the expectation, put the icing on the cake. If you can't put on the icing on the cake, now it's not personal, right? It's not a hate you. It's not you're a stupid person. It's just, bro, that's not your thing. You're sucking at the icing on the cake problem. But yeah, that clarity of having that black and white, know what it is, it makes everyone know what you're trying to work for.
Yeah, and another cool acronym I use is GWC. And some people may have heard that from the book Traction. And a lot of my upbringing was in EOS and Traction.
EOS is a great
program. All those great tools. And so GWC stands for Get It, Want It, and Capacity to Do It. And it's simple. So if you're holding somebody accountable, the first thing I ask myself is, is this a get it issue? And if it is a get it issue, then I know it's probably a training issue. I need to train this person better. If it's not a get it issue, then it's got to be a want to, right? And I always say you can't force somebody to want it. You can share the vision, you can coach them, you can encourage them, him or her. But at the end of the day, if that person just doesn't want it, then it's your job as a leader to decide whether or not you want to keep that person on your team. The last one is capacity to do it. And the way I define that is it's either a time management issue, which we all know that no matter who you are, you have to continuously be working on your time management, or it's a capacity issue, like you said, right? Like, it's the wrong person in the wrong seat doing the wrong job. If I'm never going to be good at spreading the icing on the cake, then why am I in this role? And what happens is, once you determine that, you realize that, you know, if that person's in the wrong role, they're miserable and you're miserable with that person being in the wrong role. So at the end of the day, letting that person go or moving them to a role that they're better at would make everybody involved happy.
Okay. Let me ask you this. I feel like I hear a lot of guys, and maybe this is overly generalized, but I feel like a lot of people use these statements of like, well, my company could do X, Y, or Z if I could afford that talent. My company could do A, B, C if we had the same people they did. Or, right, there's always like this comparing themselves to the Joneses of like these other companies that they see as wildly successful on various online platforms, and thinking, well, if I only had that budget, or if I only had that many trucks, or if I only had fill in the blank, right, I could do those things too. I have an opinion on that, but when you hear that sentence come out of someone's mouth, how do you interpret it?
I mean, to me, it just sounds like an excuse of why they're not going to get out of their comfort zone and change to achieve that. Because that company, the company you're comparing yourself to, they obviously decided to make the moves to grow to where they're at today. And so somebody had to make that change in order to do so. Whether or not they had more money than you, that's all your own assumption, right? But us having those type of mindsets, like, oh, you know, I would do that if I had this or whatever, that's just really a cop out for not wanting to actually make a change. Because, you know, when it comes to recruiting and retaining top talent, like, people are looking for an opportunity to grow in a great culture. I mean, just bottom line, mm-hmm. like they're looking for a company who knows where they're going, because the opposite of that is they can still make good money in a chaotic business where they feel, you know, it may be a dead end position as a service tech or a CSR or whatever, dispatcher or whatever it is. But if we're looking for the next level of leadership, for the next type of company that's going to recruit and retain top talent, you have to know where you're going and share that with people.
Yeah. What are, if someone's listening to this right now, like, it sounds like this is something you're obviously passionate about. You guys do a lot with, are there certain keys? Are there certain like tools that you guys can help put into place to help people kind of level up their games, like become a better leader? Or is that something that's like, it's an impossible request. Some people are born with it, some aren't, and sucks to be you if you don't have it.
No, I mean, that's the cool thing is every different type of personality can be a leader. You know, it's really your willingness to know yourself and grow yourself. The bottom line, like you have to be aware of who you are. And one way we do that here at Built for the Trades is a personality assessment called the Enneagram. It's a great tool to learn more about yourself. Literally in that service manager training that we do here, that is one of the biggest takeaways that people take away from this is we let them, you know, we give them that Enneagram assessment. We train them on it. We talk to them about it. And we give them a book called The Road Back to You, which is a really great book about the Enneagram. And that alone, if people dive into that and learn about themselves, it's just so eye-opening. First day, everybody had their Enneagram and we talked about it. It's kind of, people are kind of like, oh, I don't really want to talk about this, because you're almost like opening up the hood of who you really are and your personality. Because there's pros and cons to every personality. But then by the second day, everybody was like, okay, that is one of the coolest things ever. And so what we teach here at Built for the Trades is that when it comes to finding your next leader, there's so many more attributes than just being a producer. Like production is part of leadership, but the other part is the willingness to serve the people around you. Right? Just the top selling technician, dude, if I'm top selling technician, I'm making 100, 200 grand a year. You know, that's nice. Why would I want to take a pay cut to go deal with everybody else and have to manage people and have to develop people and all those different things? It's got to be a calling bigger than just production. And so that's the first thing is when you're looking for your next leader, you have to look for that person who's already showing some serving attributes, who's already leading by example, has a positive attitude, is organized, has a clean truck, like is willing to go out and help people without necessarily having to get paid for every second of it. Like there's certain things that you look for, but the other part is personality. Like you ask yourself, if I'm, you know, a 9 on the Enneagram, which is a peacemaker personality, right? I'm good at building relationships, but I'm not, it takes a lot of effort for me to hold people accountable. And so if I'm the owner of a company, I may be looking for somebody who's an 8 on the Enneagram, who's a challenger, who's somebody who loves conflict, who doesn't mind, holding people accountable. So every different type of personality, you want to find that person that balances you out. If you don't do that, what we typically do, which I have made this mistake, is you hire a bunch of people just like you. Because you're comfortable with that, right? And then the next thing you know, you have a bunch of the same personalities sitting around you. And
wait, you're saying that you don't want a company full of really amazing, really brilliant, like ridiculously talented people? Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is you just don't want everybody amazingly talented at the same things, right? Because you can't be perfect at everything. So you want to find the people that balance out.
Can't you? Nobody's going to be as good as me because I'm the owner of the business. How could anyone do things as good as I can?
Love it. That's it.
I feel like I hear that sentence like once a week from people, like maybe twice.
Oh, really?
It's crazy. And it's like, come on.
No, I mean, it's all about surrounding yourself with more talented people than yourself. I mean, it's if you want to go somewhere in your business, you have to find the right people with the right talents to help you get there. You're just the one crazy enough to take the risk and have the vision to do it, right? Like that's the difference. That's the great thing about what we do. So, but yeah, going back to the Enneagram is that, I mean, that's really some of the secret sauce in finding your next leader. Because I tell you what, there's time and time again that we're helping people find their next service manager. And before we even start using the Enneagram in the hiring process, it's what type of personality do you want for this position? What does this position agreement look like? Once we figure out what that looks like, then we go to the market and, you know, we'll do our standard resume, social media, maybe a phone interview. If we like the person and they have the right, attributes for the job, then we will send them the Enneagram, take that, and then come back and revisit it again. So if that's something that sounds good to your audience, I'd love to share that free tool with your audience if you're good with that, Ryan.
Oh, I would love to, because it's crazy. It's what you're just describing is if you have someone that has like the right skills, like they've got the right aptitude, this sounds like a filter that can be used to help them kind of screen out if these are people that are right fit, like culturally, values-wise, like for the company. Like, do they behave like you need someone on your team behave? Does that sound like a fair assessment for someone? Yeah,
it is. Like I said, if you want somebody who's going to hold people accountable, and then you hire, like I said, you hire somebody who's complete opposite personality of that, that person is miserable. You're miserable and that person's miserable as you're trying to force that person to be who they're not naturally, right?
So this tool sounds unbelievably helpful. How, and it's crazy that you're going to give this away for free. How would people get that?
Yeah, so all you got to do is go to builtforthetrades.com/free. And you just fill out a little questionnaire, take the assessment, and it'll get sent directly to you. And then if you have any more questions, you can reach out to us through, you know, builtforthetrades.com or Dan at builtforthetrades. They can reach out directly to me if they have questions about their assessments. But I love what I do, and I love to see people find the right people for these jobs, because, Ryan, if you combine a clear written vision of where you want to go with clear goals on that vision that you have set, and then you combine that with the right people on your leadership team and you're communicating, like, it looks completely different as you grow your business. All of a sudden, you're not stopping in that chaos mode, hating your life. You're actually really enjoying your life. You're finding more time to spend with your family. You're finding that you're bettering the lives of the people around you. And you start to fix that problem that we hear in the trades every other podcast we listen to, right? Like, how do we find the right people? How are we recruiting them? How do we retain them? Like, there's a lot of things that we can do, and it's about setting up your company for success and starting to do that now.
Dude, you dropped a lot of good nuggets, and I feel like you could probably talk about this at length for a while, because obviously you're passionate about it. This is what they do. So obviously if they go to get that free tool that you're going to let them do the Enneagram for free, the builtforthetrades.com/free. If they want to talk to you, they just email you dan@builtforthetrades.com. Is that the best way?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the cool thing about that, that Enneagram is the tool that we offer, actually, we can help build dashboards for companies who are looking to learn how to communicate and hire for certain positions. And so not only is it just like you taking it as an individual, we can actually combine that with the Enneagram, the DISC, and a few other assessments that actually build like
company dashboards. Cool.
And it sends, you know, we have a system that actually sends daily coaching tips to people in that system that allows you to learn more about yourself, one coaching tip for yourself, and then one for a random team member that you work around on how to communicate with that person. And that really goes a long ways. And then, you know, some of the other things we offer is we have our live trainings here, which are great. If you have anybody who's up and coming or in a leadership/management role, right, whatever you want to call it, the live trainings are great. And they're also good for owners as well to come in here and learn more about the four stages of leadership. And last but not least, mastermind groups, right? If it's, you know, you are who you surround yourself with. You know, I believe that, you know, a lot of our leadership and who we are starts with what are we watching? What are we listening to? Who are we hanging around? That leads to your thoughts. And then your thoughts lead to your words lead to your actions. And ultimately your actions are your results. That's just the way life flows. And so we believe in bringing together business owners for like business owner specific mastermind groups. And then we also have some for service managers as well in the space. So that's enough plugging Built for the Trade. Just wanted to share that.
No, it sounds like there's a lot of resources, like regardless of where somebody is, if they're just looking to upgrade their own leadership capabilities and their own leadership muscles to build their business, or even with people on their team to help get them the resources and training and exposure to other people in the same process. Seems like you have a lot of information to offer. I'm really glad you were able to come on. So obviously at builtforthetrades.com, seriously, check out that offer at builtforthetrades.com/free. Thank you so much for your time. And before I let you go, I have to ask the most important question, because we've covered a lot of topics, but probably none as pivotal, as life-changing, and as divisive as this one. Favorite Austin barbecue joint, go.
Favorite Austin barbecue joint? Let's see here. My favorite barbecue joint's not in Austin. It's in Lano. Cooper's Barbecue. What? Yeah.
Okay, Cooper's is pretty good. I've been there once or twice.
I truthfully don't have a favorite Austin barbecue joint. Like I've
this is grown crazy up to me.
Close to Austin, but I try to avoid Austin.
Austin's a different beast. For those who don't know, like Texas is like one, it's the best country on the planet. But two, they do just kick-ass barbecue, and I feel like Austin kind of gets a lot of the attention for some really exceptional barbecue that comes out of Texas.
What is your favorite in Austin?
So don't judge me on this because it's a little bit cliche. I still like Franklin's.
Yeah.
I still do. I don't like waiting in line and like getting through the counter, like wondering what food's going to be there. But man, if I'm doing beef brisket, it's not going to get anywhere better. Like it's just really good.
Yeah. There's also a little barbecue joint out in a small town called Lexington, Texas, and it's called Snow's Barbecue. They were number one in Texas a few times, but that's actually where I went to high school, and it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, crazy.
So if you're ever here, go there and experience it. But it is one of those places where, you know, it's all about the line, right? You show up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you wait in 3 hour it's line.
Totally an experience.
Yeah. And so it is a great barbecue joint, but Franklin's is also really good.
Yeah, this sounds really sacrilege. I still prefer like Kansas City style to Texas the most part. But damn it, there's some really good barbecue in Texas.
Yeah, it's really hard. You can't fake a good brisket, right?
It's either awesome or sucks.
Yeah, and that really sets the whole tone for the whole restaurant. So if you're doing brisket well in Texas, like you're typically going to see that they're doing everything well. So it's kind of funny. It's kind of the same way I judge my Tex-Mex too. It's like
a whole other podcast, man.
It's like the salsa. Yeah.
The chimichanga. I'm gonna throw a chimichanga in there too, because everyone's chimmy's so different.
I love food, by the way.
Yeah, same. I'm really glad you took the time to come on, man. This is awesome. You dropped a lot of helpful insights, and I'm glad to finally meet you. Because you do great work. So consider me a fan. But yeah, loved having you on. Dan at builtforthetrades.com. Dan, dude, you're the man. Thanks for stopping by.
All right, Ryan. Thanks, man.
This episode was hosted by Ryan Redding, author of the book on digital marketing for plumbing and HVAC contractors. This show also includes much help from Shelby Nichols. You can subscribe to Blue Collar CEO on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at bluecollar.ceo and find us on Instagram. Also, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.